Do you know how to play mandango? No? You gonna play cartel? You know mandango? Yeah, if you know mandango, play mandango. You can play cartel. Or Rogan. Jaya Radha, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihare, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihare. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihare, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihare, Jaya Ope Janabalaba Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Ope Janabalaba Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Gopi Janabalaba Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Gopi Janabalaba Jaya Kunja Vihare Vihare Jaya Yashoda Nandana Jaya Balanjana Jaya Yashoda Nandana Jaya Balanjana Jaya Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Yamuna Dhiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Yamuna Chari Jaya Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihare Sorry Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramam Sabari Rakacharya Shatra Shrimadis Vangresh La Prabhupada Ki Shishi Radha Balaba Ki Shishi Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maharani Ki Shishi Gaurnathai Ki Jai. Sorry for messing up the lyrics with the Jai Radha Madhava. Should have practiced more. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17. Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu, text number 6, and which doesn't have a purport, so we'll read 7 as well. Chitraketu uvacha, esha loka guru sakshad, dharmam vakta shariranam, Aste mukhya sabhayam vai, mituni bhuya bharayaya. Chitraketur uvacha, esha loka guru sakshad, dharmam vakta shariranam. Aste mukhya sabhayam vai, Mithuni Bhuya Bharayaya. Chitraketur Uvacha, Esha Loka Guru Sakshad, Dharmam Vakta Shariranam. Aste Mukhya Sabhayam Vai, Mithuni Bhuya Bharayaya. Raketur Uvacha. Mukhya Sabhayam Va Shaloka Guru Sakshad Mituni Bhuya Bharyaya. What it is? Chitraketur Uvacha. Esha Loka Guru Sakshad. Dharmam Vaktva Shariranam. Aste Mukhya Sabhayam Vai. Mituni Bhuya Bharyaya. Chitraketur Uvacha Esha Loka Guru Sakshad Dharmam Vaktva Sharirinam Aste Mukhyam Sabhayam Vai Mituni Bhuya Bharyaya Chitraketur Uvacha Esha Loka Guru Sakshad Dharmam Vakta Sharirinam Aste Amukhyam Sabhayam Vai Mituni Bhuya Bharyaya Chitraketu Ruvacha. King Chitraketu said, Eshaha, this Loka Guru, the spiritual master of the people who follow Vedic instructions, Sakshat, directly, Dharmam, of religion, Vakta, the speaker, Sharirinam, for all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Aste, sits, Mukhyaha, the chief, Sabhayam, in an assembly. Why? Indeed, Mituni Bhuya, embracing Bharyaya, with his wife. Translation. Chitraketu said, Lord Shiva, the spiritual master of the general populace, is the best of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. He enunciates the system of religion. Yet how wonderful it is that he is embracing his wife, Parvati, in the midst of an assembly of great saintly persons. Text number 7. Jatadharas Tivratapa Brahmavadi Sabapati Ankikritya Striyam Chaste Gatahri Prakrito Yatha. Lord Shiva, whose hair Translation, Lord Shiva, whose hair is matted on his head, has certainly undergone great austerities and penances. Indeed, he is the president in the assembly of strict followers of Vedic principles. Nonetheless, he is seated with his wife on his lap in the midst of saintly persons and is embracing her as if he were a shameless, ordinary human being. Purport. Chitraketu appreciated the exalted position of Lord Shiva, and therefore he remarked at how wonderful it was that Lord Shiva was acting like an ordinary human being. He appreciated Lord Shiva's position, but when he saw Lord Shiva sitting in the midst of saintly persons and acting like a shameless ordinary man, he was astonished. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that although Chitraketu criticized Lord Shiva, he did not offend Lord Shiva like Daksha. Daksha considered Lord Shiva insignificant, but Chitraketu expressed his wonder at Lord Shiva's being situated in that way. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is an amazing pastime of Chitraketu and him being cursed by Mother Parvati. Very famous pastime, I'm sure. Many of you are across this pastime. So as we know from the previous chapters, Chitraketu got himself in a tricky situation. So Chitraketu, as we heard in previous chapter, he wanted a son badly, right? So he wanted a son. And so Angira Muni, and he couldn't conceive a son, so which was a big problem. So not only he couldn't conceive a son, but he was a king. So in order to continue the lineage, he needed a son who could become the next monarch and carry on the lineage. So due to this calamity, one day Angira Muni approached him and he asked Angira Muni for a son. And he said, okay, yeah, you'll get a son, but it's not all straightforward. Read the fine print. So he said, basically, your son will be Harsha Shoka, one who will give you happiness and also distress. So as we heard from Devamrit Maharaj over the last week or so, he's been speaking on this pastime, that he thought that, you know, him having a son meant his son might be mischievous or not well behaved, a spoiled brat or something, being the son of a king. So that's about it, you know, that's the amount of distress he might get. Or he might do some stupid things. But he didn't realize that his son would give him great distress by dying untimely. And you know the circumstances of his death. So out of jealousy, he was basically removed from the scene. So Chitraketu fell in an ocean. So he fell in an ocean of lamentation. And not only him, even the entire kingdom fell in an ocean of lamentation, in an ocean of grief. So it was very hard to conceive that the entire entire kingdom was grieving for the loss of the son. Maybe we can get some understanding. Like recently, the Queen passed away. Queen of England passed away. And the entire nation, or many people in that country and all over the world, were grieving the passing away of the Queen. So that's just a very tiny example. But Chitraketu's son passing away. So he was in the Queen was in grief. He was in grief, and everyone also became absorbed in that grief, and they were grieving the loss of the son. So very intense grieving. And so he, when Angira Muni came, he basically told him, yeah, I want a son. And out of attachment, he didn't, out of such strong desire, he wasn't able to listen to Angira Muni. He wasn't able to consider what the distress could be. So because of such a strong desire. There's also the example of Maharaj Shantanu, is it Maharaj Shantanu in the Mahabharata? And what was it Ganga Devi who came to him? Yeah? Yeah. So when Ganga Devi came and he was so attracted by her, and he said, "I want to marry you." And she said, she was the daughter of a fisherman, or no? Satyavati, yeah. So, and she said, "Okay, if you want to marry me, the condition will be you have to throw my son in the Ganges. You have to throw your son in the Ganges." He said, "No problems. I'll throw all of them." So out of intense desire, he could not see what he had to do and the distress he had to undergo. So similarly, Chitraketu, he could not, he had the son, but he didn't consider what the shoka meant or the distress meant. And that came. And when it came, he was in an ocean of lamentation. And so was the entire kingdom. And then Narad Muni and Angira Muni, they came. This time Angira Muni came again along with Narad Muni. And they were disguised as ordinary mendicants. And they instructed the king in transcendental knowledge. And so the king was not an ordinary person. Just by hearing these two personalities, he could understand that they are great people. They're great sages. So a sadhu is recognized by their words. So also like Shukdev Goswami. Shukdev Goswami, when he was roaming around disguised as a madman, he was not recognized by the citizens of Hastinapur and wherever he was wandering through. They thought he's a dumb, retarded person, naked, has no social sense, and the people were mocking him. Till he came, and they were following him, and when he came in the assembly of sages, everyone stood up. And they were like, "Uh-oh, what have we done? Who's this person? All these great sages, personalities who have come from all over the universe are offering him great respects and offering obeisances, etc." And they put him on the Vyasasan and they're hearing from him. So in the same way, the king could appreciate the exalted nature of Angira Muni and Narada Muni. So that's how the quality of a person is judged, by their speaking. It's like when you go to a job interview. You know, you can write whatever you want in your CV. And you might be called for an interview. But then in the interview, they ask you questions and you have to open your mouth. And within 5 seconds or 10 seconds, they can tell where you are at when you open your mouth. So if you have the experience and knowledge, you will give vigyan. Otherwise, you'll just say, like a parrot, repeat. And they can figure out where you are. And see you later. So like that, the quality of a saintly person is judged when they open their mouth and what comes out of their mouth. So the reason the sages appeared, and then they revealed their true identity to the king, and they told him that and the reasons they appeared was they could see that there is no future someone to take on the throne. That was a problem. And the entire kingdom is in an ocean of lamentation. And they also wanted to instruct people through instructing the king. And they wanted to help the people to, because that was extraordinary lamentation. It was over the top. And the king, it was all over the top. And that wasn't befitting his exalted position. So they came to instruct him in transcendental science. And this time, the king was ready to hear. As Maharaj recently was mentioning, timing is very important in instructing someone. So, and Angira Muni told the king that, "I could have told you this last time, but you were not ready to hear. You were so attached to having a son. But this time, they could see he was ready to hear, and they instructed him in transcendental knowledge. So we are also like that. Quite often we are not ready to hear. Like we might approach a saintly person or spiritual master and say, please tell me what to do, but quite often they don't, if they said, if they really said what they want you to do, they probably won't do it and commit offenses. So the saintly person has to see when we are actually ready to hear, not just saying that, you know, instruct me. So it was a similar situation. And then Narada Muni, he instructed the king to chant a mantra for 7 days. He said, chant this mantra for 7 days and you will see Lord Sankarshan. So, and that's what he did. He chanted the mantras. In the course, he got a lot of material opulences. He also became the master of the Vidyadharas. So, and as we heard in these verses, and in the previous verse, the assembly that Lord Shiva was sitting in, he was also surrounded by the Charanas and Vidyadharas. So Chitraketu was, he became the master of them. And then he, after 7 days, he got the darshan of Lord Sankarshan. He made wonderful prayers. And he was also gifted this airplane. And in this airplane, he was flying over all over the universe with these beautiful Vidyadhara women. So he was flying with them for a very, very long time. And flying and doing Sanketan. They were basically having Ketan and chanting. They were chanting Krishna's glories. And then Chitraketu, he, as he was flying, he came to Sumeru Mountain. Yeah, so he was traveling through the valleys of the Sumeru Mountain, and he came across this great assembly. There were all these sages from all over the universe, and there was Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was had Parvati on a lap, and he was embracing her in the midst of all these great sages, and he was quite astonished to see this scene where Lord Shiva, you all know, Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of Krishna. And Lord Shiva is almost on the level of the Supreme Lord, as we know from the Nectar of Devotion. And Lord Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance. And he's the Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. He's the greatest of all devotees. And the example is given of, Prabhupada gives the example of milk and curd. Right? So, curd is a transformation of milk. So it is achinta bheda bheda. It's milk, but at the same time it's not milk because it has been transformed. Milk has been transformed into yogurt. So it's like that. And Lord Shiva is a very exalted personality. Lord Brahma was sitting there. Everyone was sitting there. And there was this scene. And you can imagine the times. This is going back a very, very long time. Society was not degraded like it is now. In Kali Yuga, this is an ordinary scene. We see this scene every day. See, much worse than that, right? There's people openly embracing and, you know, kissing in public. So he saw this scene, he was quite astonished. It wasn't the norm of the time. So Chitraketu was quite astonished to see the scene. The action was quite unusual. And then he laughed loudly, as you heard in the previous verse. That Chitraketu, he laughed loudly upon seeing the scene. And what did he say? I think in the previous verse. And he said basically what verse number 7 is, that Lord Shiva is sitting in the midst of saintly persons and embracing his wife. And he made a joke of that, and he spoke it out loud, so everyone could hear in that assembly. Parvati could hear, Lord Shiva could hear, and everyone else could hear. And he said that a few times. But in his saying that, Chitraketu, he did not minimize Lord Shiva's position. So the difference between, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, with Daksha was, Daksha minimized the position of Lord Shiva. Whereas Chitraketu is actually glorifying Lord Shiva. He's saying he's a great personality. He's not an ordinary person. He's the president in the assembly of strict followers of Vedic principles. And interestingly, he's seated and acting in this way. So he did not make that offense of minimizing Lord Shiva. And this was basically the arrangement of the super soul in the way Chitraketu acted, spoke, and in the way Parvati responded. It's actually all the arrangement of the super soul, where he laughed loudly at him. So Chitraketu spoke like this because he actually wanted to glorify Lord Shiva, and he knew that people in the future, when they come across this pastime, they will consider Lord Shiva to be an ordinary person. And he actually wanted Lord Shiva to be glorified. So with that intention, he said this. And Parvati, when she heard this, she was offended. So she thought to herself, Chitraketu has crossed the line. He's not only said once, going once, twice, thrice. He said three or more times. And he said out loud in front of everyone. So she thought, okay, he's got a bit proud, Chitraketu. He had darshan of Lord Sankarshan. And then he's flying around this airplane with all these beautiful women all over the universe. He's got a little proud and he's speaking like this. And who is he to speak like this in front of all the great sages? The sages greater than him. The Brahma is here and so many other great personalities are here. They're not saying anything. And who is he to speak out like this? And thinking like this, then she cursed him to take the body of a demon. And as you know, he became Vritasura. He became the great demon Vritasura. And so Lord Shiva is also there, and as you know, Lord Shiva was quiet. He did not say much. So he kept quiet, and then he told Parvati that he actually understood Chitraketu's intention. Lord Shiva understood his intention and he didn't take any offense. And then he told Parvati that actually me and Chitraketu are friends. So that Chitraketu and him are friends, and he just took it as a joke. He didn't take it too seriously. And then basically told her, like, you know, who does Chitraketu think he is? He's flying around with all these beautiful women for such a long time. He's flying all over the universe, hanging around with these beautiful women, doing sankirtan. So what's the difference between him and me? Like, I'm sitting here with you on my lap, and look at what he's doing in public. So he did not take offense. He just took it as a joke between friends, and his friend is just making fun of him. So he took it in that way. And he said that, okay, you know, he's making a show of bhakti, flying around doing sankirtan, but is actually a materialist, is hanging around with all these women. Whereas I'm pretending to be a materialist, but I'm a devotee. So this was the what was going on. So there's various angles this can be seen at, from Lord Shiva's perspective, from Chitraketu's perspective, from Parvati's perspective, and then from Krishna's perspective ultimately. So as Prabhupada mentions here or in the Purpa 2 verse number 5 that Krishna wanted his devotee to come back to the spiritual world. Krishna wanted Chitraketu to come back to the spiritual world, and so he orchestrated this pastime where he would get cursed as a demon, and then after the demon, as in a demon body, is killed, and then he comes back to the spiritual world. So the Lord was feeling separation from his devotee and he wanted him back. So we might think, hang on, this is, what kind of Bhagavan is this that is feeling separation and he puts his devotee through this through these circumstances? Why can't he just get him back in the spiritual world? That's what I was thinking when I read in the purport. Why he has to make him a demon, first curse him, get him cursed, embarrass him in front of everyone. It's not like ordinary people, there's great sages sitting here, and to be cursed in front of someone, and if someone says something negative about you in front of others, it hurts a lot, and it really makes us feel tiny. And so he said in front of the assembly, of such a great assembly, you can just imagine. So he was cursed to become a demon. And then as a demon, he was killed. So he was basically humiliated. And then he was brought back to the spiritual world. So Krishna does these things Krishna has his leelas and he does these things for our benefit. So Krishna puts his devotee in difficulties. So even Queen Kunti, she prayed in the prayers of Queen Kunti. She said, you know, give me more and more calamities, and that way I take more and more shelter of you and I can think more and more of you. So that's the exalted nature of the devotees of Krishna, those who are exalted devotees. They actually take shelter of Krishna. They accept these catastrophes as great blessings to intensify their bhakti to Krishna. And even like Arjuna was put in that circumstance where he was bewildered. Arjuna was bewildered, totally bewildered. And he fell in Maya and then he inquired from Krishna. So Chitraketu was used in a similar way to instruct us. And also for Krishna to carry out his pastimes, he engaged his devotee in that way. And also Krishna wanted to demonstrate that his devotee is not affected by happiness and distress. Chitraketu is a great devotee. And he remains a devotee in all circumstances. He's not a fair-weather devotee. So when all things are good, coming to the temple, doing your services, but when there is problems in our life, then we might stop our service. So but Chitraketu wasn't like that. He was a great devotee. Even as a demon, he was a devotee. You know, even as a demon, he was basically a devotee in the body of a demon. And Prahlad Maharaj, he took birth in a demoniac family, but he's an acharya. Prahlad Maharaj is a great devotee. So he wanted to show how his devotee is not affected in happiness and distress. In under happy circumstances, Chitraketu was still engaging in glorification of Krishna, though he was flying around with all these women in the airplane. But he was glorifying Krishna, because that was the benediction that was given to him. And then as a demon also, as Vritasura, he was glorifying Krishna. And he accepted the curse as a great blessing, as Queen Kunti accepted all the tribulations. So these are many dynamics occurring in this pastime simultaneously. And this is a great pastime for us. It shows us, what is What are true priorities and what is real success? So, Chitraketu actually saw the cursing as a great benediction. We might think this is a big catastrophe. So, that's the success in bhaktis is to come closer to Krishna. So, whether it happens in a gentle way or in a harsh way. So Krishna can bring us closer to Him in any way He desires. Was in the Shikshashtakam prayers, Lord Chaitanya says, you might handle me, you can handle me roughly. What's in the last verse it says, right? Say that? Yeah. You can handle me roughly by your embrace, right? Or leave me brokenhearted. Yeah, so Krishna can act in mysterious ways, and depending on where his devotees are at, so we might get the this side of Krishna, or we might be easygoing. So it just depends. In any circumstance, we have to be a devotee. So all devotees get tested at every stage, at some point in their life. Get heavily tested by the Supreme Lord, and that is also the mercy of Krishna, and that is success. This is real success in wealth, that where Krishna is interfering in our life. So I'll leave it there. See if you have any questions or comments. Yes. Hare Krishna.
He gets delivered by seeing Lord Shankarshan, but his wives don't get delivered. And we see in other cases, like in Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, when he came back after seeing Lord Vishnu, everyone in his palace got delivered. So why didn't Chitraketu Maharaj's wives get delivered?
Why didn't Chitraketu's wives didn't get delivered, or Dhruva Maharaj's? Both.
Chitraketu Maharaj's wives, they didn't get delivered, but when Dhruva Maharaj came back from the forest, everyone got delivered in his palace, even Suruchi's stepmother.
Okay, that's a very intelligent question. Yeah, so she's basically asking that Chitraketu got delivered by the Lord, whereas his wives didn't get delivered. Why his wives didn't get delivered? Though they were engaging in Sankirtan with him, right? Yeah, so that's the question. So, why didn't they get delivered? I guess everyone's at a different stage in their Krishna consciousness. So, maybe there are some anarthas that still need to be cleared, and that's why they didn't get delivered. So they still have to go through more purification. We are also coming in front of Krishna every day. We are hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names. But I can speak for myself, I'm not delivered, because there's still a lot of purification to occur. There's a lot of anarthas there. I'm still in the stage of, what do you say, bhajana kriya, still trying to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, and I have to get purified. So maybe they still need to go through some purification. And they didn't get delivered. Whereas Chitraketu, as we heard, he was ready to hear, in the previous pastime. And Chitraketu is a great devotee of the Lord, so he's more advanced than them. That's my answer. Anyone like to add anything to that, or any other question? Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah.
What you've said, and from what the purport, we can assume a lot of lessons from different chapters of the Bhagavatam.
Yep.
And here, this chapter also, we learn a lot. In particular, from this verse today, we see how Lord Shiva has Parvati sitting on his lap. Now, generally speaking, as you mentioned, that is a thing that materialists do.
Yeah.
And yet, Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava, and he has his wife, Parvati, on his lap.
Mm.
So there is an example there for us also.
Mm.
That even though we're aspiring to be pure devotees, Lord Shiva is showing that actually there is still a need in our growth to have affection for one another.
Mm. Yeah.
And sometimes within Krishna consciousness, we take the extreme view, especially in Grihastha life, where we don't show affection for our partner. And yet here we see a great Vaishnava like Lord Shiva actually showing physical affection for his wife.
Mm.
But the lesson that we learn from Lord Shiva is that he is the greatest Vaishnava, so he's totally pure. And yet he has that affectionate relationship with his wife.
Mm.
It's an interesting point to think about.
Yes.
Because sometimes we have that understanding that, oh, I'm so fallen, I can't. And so thereby we cut off that emotional and affection for our partner. It is so important that we take the lessons from the Bhagavatam, that yes, we're advancing in Krishna consciousness and we're following the principles, but in the same token, we're aware of actually, if we are in a marriage situation, that we show affection.
Mm. Mm.
And if you understand also, Lord Brahma also has a wife and Lord Indra has a wife and so on and so forth. So it's just a point that I thought would be, is pertinent to this verse.
Yes.
Because from a different perspective, you sort of think, how is it that this great devotee, the greatest Vaishnava, can have his wife on his lap, right? And consequently, if you have a mundane sort of consciousness, you would start criticizing that. See, he's just the same as us.
Mm.
But in actual fact, there's a lesson to be learnt there.
Mm.
Can you comment on that at all?
Yeah, I'll just say that that's a great point you brought up. That's a very important point that I missed. So thank you for mentioning that. That's very important. So yeah, we can take that lesson. And I'll just reiterate basically what you said, because I think you've said it very well. And as devotees, we can become quiet and try to be renounced and cut off affectionate dealings, especially in the Grihastha ashram. This is a great lesson that we need to be basically normal human beings. Even when we are practicing Krishna consciousness and show affection for our partners emotionally and also, you know, in appropriate ways. This is all normal and quite acceptable. Yeah, that's what I was. Thank you for mentioning that. That's a very important point. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Bhagavatam ki jai.
Thank you, Kumar.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
I have your card?
Sure.
I'm not going to keep it, I'm going to give it as a present to John.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't taken him on for a while.
Tell him I will. He'll
appreciate it because he'll. They live longer because he takes them off some in water and such, as you probably know.